Welcome to the Green Alliance podcast. We're the charity and think tank that is all about achieving ambitious leadership for the environment. I'm James Fotherby, a policy advisor at Green Alliance, and to mark Veganuary, we're discussing veganism.
I would like to make common cause with people for whom it's a sort of lifestyle choice as well as something they campaign on. But it is back to having a tolerant conversation about it for our children's sake or my grandchildren's sake. It has to be part of the conversation, and I would urge anybody to at least give it a go.
Today, I'll be speaking to Baroness Jenkin of Kennington, a Conservative life peer in the House of Lords. Beyond Veganuary, we discuss more broadly how the conversation on diet and climate change has shifted in UK politics in recent years. Baroness Jenkin, thank you very much for joining the Green Alliance podcast. You were signed up to participate in Veganuary, which is, of course, the month-long challenge in January to remove animal products from your diet and eat plant-based. What motivated you to sign up to this challenge?
Well, I've done it before. I mean, I think I'm what you would call a flexitarian anyway. I think I've weaned myself off animal products over quite a number of years, so I'm happy to support it. I am feeling a little bit embarrassed because last year I think I was far stricter than I have been this year. But anyway, I'm fessing up. I haven't had a party in my garden, but I have perhaps not slightly slipped on the Veganuary. But I do it to support those who do it and challenge myself. I'm just very committed to partly the environmental impact of eating animal products and the way we treat animals. I just do think I'm not obsessed about animals, but I do, you know, when you look at the photographs and when you actually think about how they are kept, I just think one day we will look back, or our children or our grandchildren or somebody will look back and say, you mean we actually grew animals in horrible conditions just to kill and eat them, and they weren't even good for us? I'll do anything I can to draw attention to both of those issues, really. And I'm absolutely convinced that eating too much meat, and certainly eating processed meat, is bad for us from a health point of view. You know, I'm also campaigning on obesity, and I try not to sort of preach too much and just follow my own values, if you like. I mean, you probably see it on my Twitter feed that I hate waste of all kinds, and I can pretty well put everything into the waste box if I think about it. I mean, I can't bear the fact that we cut down rainforests to grow soy, not for us as humans or for the rainforest dwellers as humans, but to feed our animal livestock. I mean, it's just, that seems to me to be the most unconservative thing you can possibly do.
And I suppose, speaking from personal experience, what's more important about Veganuary isn't being 100% militant and sticking to it, but it's actually the conversations that it sparks amongst non-vegans.
Correct.
So has your participation sparked any interesting conversations with colleagues, and broadly, has it been well received?
I mean, I have an ongoing conversation with colleagues about it. I do think there is a shift. It is massively increasing, the interest in it, but I mean, from such a low base. So, I mean, I think there are general conversations that go on. Conserving is my main thing. So it's improving health, reducing pollution and deforestation, and protecting the environment. And I guess as part of the ongoing conversation around pre-COP, post-COP, rewilding and all the rest of it, it is an opportunity to remind colleagues, which I do. And certainly if you're down in the canteen, I will certainly always, you know, say I don't eat meat and move straight to the next thing. And that starts a conversation. And I have to say that the catering people here are very much better than they used to be. There is always a vegan option, actually, but there's certainly plenty of vegetarian options, which is a huge improvement. There are opportunities to discuss, and I certainly do. I mean, we know there isn't enough land in the world for everyone to eat meat and dairy at the rate we currently do. But, I mean, talking to you, James, makes me a bit ashamed that we haven't had a debate on it here, or that I haven't participated on the debate on it. And I will, when we finish this, go and see if I can put a question down. I mean, did you become a vegan for ethical reasons or health reasons, or what motivated you?
I became a vegan in 2017, and I think initially it was due to environmental reasons, but increasingly it's been more for ethical reasons now. Like you said, I think the way that animals are treated in the sort of intensive animal agriculture is pretty appalling, and it's completely bizarre that there's not enough food for us humans, but instead we'll feed it to animals, which will then go to humans. So
yes, I did watch Game Changers, which, as you know, has affected a lot of people and been a very good tool And my husband watched it with me at the time, and he was very motivated. But you see, it's easy to slip back. And I have seen, it's like any other addiction, I suppose, well, it definitely isn't quite an addiction, that unless you keep reminding yourself of those three main drivers, you do slip a bit. And in fact, in bed this morning, I was just flicking through to see how Veganuary was going. And, you know, when you see those photographs, those films from America of how the cows are kept in those cages, I mean, how can you call it a farm? It's absolutely disgusting. You know, you need a little remotivation, and I hope that this conversation will remotivate me as well.
I hope it will motivate lots of people too. To a Westminster outsider, 2021 seemed like quite a significant year for veganism in UK politics. It was, of course, the year the Vegan Conservative Caucus was established. The business secretary, Kwasi Kwarteng, in April sort of acknowledged the role veganism plays in driving decarbonisation. And the National Food Strategy, which was published by DEFRA, recommended, amongst other things, a 30% meat reduction by 2030.
Yeah.
You've been in Parliament for just over a decade now. Have you observed this sort of shift? Has it been quite quick, or has it been fairly gradual?
Well, I think it's part of the whole conversation around, I mean, understanding climate change and the urgency of it. I mean, the focus has been far more on what government can do and not, I think, enough on what the individual can do. And as I say, I've campaigned a bit more on food waste in the past. I've been on the board of RAP, and it drives me nuts that a third of the food produced in the world is thrown away, basically. And a third of the world is hungry, and a third of the world is obese and climbing. Those stats don't seem to make any sense to me. It's part of the conversation around the climate change and a better understanding that at least eating proper meat has to be the way to go. But of course, there is the issue around the expense. But again, I don't think people understand, perhaps, that it is no more expensive to eat a vegan diet, which you will be able to confirm, than it is to eat a meat-based diet. Most food is vegan anyway, and pretty much every meat and dairy product has a replacement, which is almost indistinguishable, but without the environmental footprint and cruelty. And that's only really been the case fairly recently, and I think that's been a big part of the conversation. So I think this year has been a big wake-up call to a lot of people, and I hope that more people individually will be able to say, well, what can I do? I can, you know, waste less food, because we know about the emissions. We know the water reduction for vegans is obviously a big thing. There's vegan fashion, but I mean, I made a vow 10 years ago to never buy anything new. That's not to say I don't ever go to a charity shop, but it's all part of the conversation around what can individuals do in their own homes to help with emissions. And this was a very easy one for me.
And just focusing on the individual for a second, what do you think can be done to actually encourage more people to eat more plant-based?
Well, I would encourage anybody to watch Game Changers. And I don't know, you may know if there's an updated version, because it's now, I think, fairly old. I think role models are definitely helpful. I mean, I was amazed when I saw that Arnold Schwarzenegger, for example, I'm not sure if he's vegetarian or vegan, but speaking out and saying that they could be well and healthy, and it's not difficult, and it's not expensive. Also, just more awareness of how disgusting factory farming is. And I do think that the Climate Change Committee and, you know, the 30% is a good start, frankly, if people can do that. During lockdown, I was with my, obviously with my family. And I don't say I never gave them meat. I think we had meat once a week. But they didn't even notice, because I was cooking, obviously, every meal. And we had dal, we had soup every day at lunch, salads every day at lunch. They did have cheese and sometimes some cold meat, but very, very much less than they would in their, you know, regular lives. I mean, they're grown-ups, and nobody noticed, nobody complained, nobody said, I want more meat, Mum. I think, you know, give it a try is the key. I don't know if you've got any other tips, James, that we should be sharing with the general public.
I completely agree that role models are really important. And I think just to add to what you said and bring in an earlier point you said about health, I think encouraging people to eat less meat is also a really great opportunity to encourage people to have healthier diets. And I think there's a bit of me is concerned that people just replace meat with sort of fake meats, yeah, which are of course, yeah, ultra processed.
Yes.
But really what we want to be pushing people to eat is more sort of natural whole foods, which of course are much, much cheaper. So dried beans, you can buy about a kilo yeah, for yeah, not that much at all.
I completely agree with you. And I've got real concerns about replacing one ultra processed food with another. And I, you know, we'll look back and say, how did we think that was all okay? I mean, people are frightened of vegetables. I don't know why. You can buy a kilo of frozen veg, I think still for £1. I mean, that makes you 10 portions of soup, you know, chuck in an onion and a stock cube. And it's delicious and it's satisfying and it's, oh, put in some lentils, of course, lentils in everything. It's partly because we have lost our traditional cooking skills. And so, but look, let's just keep encouraging people. And if everyone who gives it a go and says it's achievable and they feel good, tells a neighbour, you know, word of mouth is probably the best way of doing it. Down the pub with me in the queue for the canteen here, we can all do our bit to encourage people to give it a try. If we were all vegan, the world's food-related emissions would be down 70%.
Something I always say is that veganism is a sort of scale where doing something is always better than doing nothing.
Yeah.
And I think there's a bit of an issue where sort of the more hardcore vegans sort of really are very militant and get angry at people when they break it. But of course, the CCC says we need a 20 to 50% reduction by 2050. That doesn't mean completely removing animal products from your diet, but instead it means instead of eating meat 7 days a week, it's 5 days a week. So we need this sort of slow, gradual reduction and also compassion, because it's not easy to just completely remove something from your diet.
Well, I think we all know that bullying is counterproductive. Every little helps. We've just got to have a conversation about it. I think there are some things the government ought to think. I mean, they need to be firmer with the supermarkets. And of course, the supermarkets will follow if they think there is a demand for it. So it's a bit of chicken egg, but we need to encourage healthy eating and I think help them to set targets to replace meat. And certainly, of course, there are technologies coming which will definitely help with cultured meat, for example, and if you really can't give it up, and vertical growing. And I mean, I find it quite extraordinary that people want to eat some form of vegan burger that has beetroot juice coming out of it to replicate or look like meat. But if that's for you, well, you know, give it a go, really.
Moving to identity politics for a second, there seems to be a bit of an association between sort of vegans and young left-leaning student activist types, or another type which George Orwell famously calls sort of high-minded sandal wearers and bearded fruit juice drinkers, which I suppose are more earthy types. But considering that, the sort of vegan conservative caucus really interests me because it bucks that association. As a conservative yourself, and you've touched on this earlier, do you see sort of a natural affiliation between conservatism and veganism?
I do. I mean, as I keep reminding my colleagues, there's a thing I bring into any conversation that I have, there's a clue in our name, conserve. And I actually think when we have the whole conversation around climate change, it's a more conservative way of describing it, is that we, as I think, you know, fundamental tenet of conservatism is the will to leave the world in a better place than we found it. I would like to make common cause with people for whom it's a sort of lifestyle choice as well as something they campaign on. But it is back to having a tolerant conversation about it for our children's sake or my grandchildren's sake. It has to be part of the conversation. And I would urge anybody to at least give it a go.
I think your point on common cause is really important, because I do worry that sort of not just climate change, but veganism too is becoming sort of polarized along party lines.
Is it? I didn't know that. But so, okay, I'm happy to see if I can bridge some divides on that.
Yeah, well, in the US, sort of 3/4 of vegetarians self-identify as liberal. I think it's important to sort of bear your point in mind and work across party lines, you know.
I'm more than happy to reach out and talk to people who are prepared to work across any political divide on this. It's a common sense agenda to me. And I shall go and find Zach Goldsmith later on today and make sure he's on track and that we'll work out a plan to do a bit more promotion, I think.
What one piece of advice would you give a colleague who's interested in going vegan?
Well, I suppose give it a try and not beat yourself up if you fail. Take it slowly, you know, make some dull, cheap, cheerful, delicious, and try something new. I mean, we've all got to challenge ourselves as we get older. Ticks all the boxes.
Baroness Jenkin, thank you very much.
Great to talk to you, James. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for listening to this Green Alliance podcast. Keep checking in as we will continue to bring you specialist interviews and highlights from our events here on your podcast feed. You can subscribe to the Green Alliance podcast on your favourite podcast app, and you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter at Green Alliance UK. See you next time.